Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. September the 29th of 25. It's second to last day of the month of September. We hope that everyone had a great weekend. A couple of reminders. You live in the freest country in the history of the world. And also, early voting started Saturday. Looks like large numbers turned out thus far. Very, very encouraging. The polls were closed yesterday. They reopened today. And they will be open until October 4th. That's this coming Saturday. If you have a desire to vote absentee, you can go to the city website as well as the clerk's website, and you can see that I think there's four or five different outlets where you can vote early voting. Was talking to a friend while watching the LSU game. They had passed by the one out in Lakeview or Lake Vista lines out there, he said. It was good to hear that folks are turning out and early voting. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We will visit with Guy Williams. We're going to talk about the government shutdown, what it is that the Democrats want, what the Republicans desire. We'll also talk about AI and energy prices. California is looking to increase oil drilling, if you can believe that. They've been adamantly opposed to same. Things are changing. Gen Z credit scores dropping and what that actually means. And then we'll get a flavor for the economy around the world as well. At 11:30, we will visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills and the Saints. Jeff made his way back last evening. As the Saints went down 31-19, they are now 0-4. You will recall that there was a 16.5-point spread. They obviously beat the spread. I got to say, they played well. I thought there was a lot of aspects to the game, but we'll dig deep on that with Jeff Nowak. Stefan Padfield joins us, the executive director of the Free Enterprise Project. We keep hearing about the suppression of free speech relative to the Trump administration, but we have a very short memory, right? And just recently, Google's parent company, Alphabet, acknowledged to the House Judiciary Committee that the Biden administration repeatedly pressured it to remove user-generated content from YouTube that turns out didn't violate the policies of YouTube. The revelations were made in a letter sent in response to a Republican-led investigation into alleged censorship. Folks are defending this practice because they believe that it served a public benefit by doing so. Are we eroding away the First Amendment? And who gets to decide what the public if there's a public benefit or not? As it turns out, we'll talk more about this, a lot of what was suppressed turned out to be true. So how do you know? And what's the risk? But we know clearly that we should not be engaging in that activity. It's going to be interesting to see the thoughts of Stefan Padfield. Colonel Jeff McCausland joins us at 10:30. President Donald Trump, I talked about this last week, has a surprising shift in his public stance on the Russia-Ukraine war, stating that he believes that the Ukrainians can actually probably win this and reclaim all its territory lost to Russia. He referred to Russia as a paper tiger. Obviously, that got under their skin, and they are responding. And the Ukrainians now are bombing oil-producing facilities. They are now rationing oil and gas in Russia. We'll get the latest from Colonel Jeff McCausland. So last week, as a result of an article that was done in NOLA.com relative to the finances of a council person at large candidate, State Representative Delisha Boyd, I talked about what she was doing, how she was handling her campaign funds and her PAC, and there seemed to be the possibility of coordination between the two. Nobody really knows, but we have some of the same players working in the campaign that's working in the PAC, which is no, it's not good to do that. It's hard to argue that they are separated when they're one and the same. Meanwhile, back at the Ponderosa, we know that her home is being foreclosed on. The sheriff's office attempted to get service on a state representative for 1 year. Wow. A year. A state representative was able to duck service from the sheriff's office, having done executory process with the sheriff's office for about 30 some odd years of my life, and understand how that works. That part of the organization at one time was in my chain of command, worked closely with those folks, know exactly how it works, know about all the communication that goes on between the creditor and the debtor and everything along the lines. At some point in time, you have an obligation to step up and do the right thing. They've lent you a boatload of money for a home that you are living in, and you're not paying your mortgage. Now, that could be a whole host of reasons. I'm not trying to be critical of this situation, but you got to take care of your business. And I don't know about you, but when you run for public office, there's a higher standard that people are going to hold you to, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? You set a high standard and you're not willing to accept anything less. And when they perform less, you vote them out. Or, in this case, maybe you just don't vote them in. Well, her reaction to the story has been kind of interesting to me. She has retained Gray Sexton, who was the person that ran the ethics board for a long, long time, as the executive director there and the attorney for it, and now is in private practice. He obviously knows the ethics laws backwards and forwards. That's what he's done for a good portion of his life. And she says that Sexton will review all campaign finance filings and provide any needed guidance going forward in order to ensure that her campaign is operating within both the spirit and the letter of the law. Now, this is a person that's asking you to trust them, right? And now she got caught. Now it gets reported by NOLA.com and Gambit. And now we're going to do the right thing. Only now will we check in with an expert to see as to whether or not the construct of our campaign, the construct of our PAC, and the manner in which we are communicating back and forth with SAME, only now will we check to see whether or not what we're doing is appropriate. Now, does anyone out there believe that this individual would be doing this today? Had there not been an article in the paper? Had there not been a monologue by this show? Had there not been others that were talking about, you know, whether or not this runs violative of the campaign finance laws of the state of Louisiana? Do you think any of that would have been done? You know, passing money to her daughter as a representative of organizations that she is working for? And it turns out somebody in the campaign says that the organization was actually their real estate company, as reported. I mean, does anybody really believe that she would have been double-checking all of this? No, of course not. She got caught. And this is the thing about public service. I mean, do you want an individual that conducts their business that way? I would suspect not, right? I would suspect that given the choice, you might want someone else who's actually conducting their business, their personal finances and the like, in a more appropriate fashion. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, it does to me. These are the kind of things that you would do in advance. You'd clear all of this up in advance of running. You'd get this all tied up neatly. I mean, there are indications that some of this goes back to the possibility of bankruptcies being filed all the way back to 2008 and 2012 that people are talking about. It's not like this is a recent happenstance. If that's the case, if those allegations are in fact true, this is something that's been going on for 12, 14, 15 years. Right? And that we've never been able to work this out. What's really even more interesting to me is there's no mention as to why you would duck service for a year, knowing that the creditor was trying to foreclose on your home, right? And obviously you haven't been able to negotiate a workout plan with the creditor that was of any consequence. And, you know, then they throw out the catch-all that it will be seen that elements of these assertions relative to the campaign are without merit. Well, we'll see about that. Maybe not. All depends on how you characterize certain transactions and alike. And it can be very loosey-goosey. I get it. But Boyd's campaign also went a little further. They said that Representative Boyd has made it very clear that she is not immune to the same challenges that everyday families face. In fact, these painful experiences have given her a unique perspective because she knows what it means to fall, to get back up, and to keep pushing forward. And that's the spirit of New Orleans, and it's the spirit that will be with her every single day on the council. So let me get this straight. So you fall in financial disarray with your personal finances, and that makes you more like your peers and the folks that you are governing, because a very small minority of those folks are going through the same trials and tribulations that you are. And that's going to make you a better candidate because you did not fulfill the fiduciary obligation that you had to creditors. And maybe you overextended yourself, and maybe you were trying to live a lifestyle in which you could not support. And that makes you a better candidate. Now, the expenditures that are being made as it relates to your campaign fund and your PAC in the payment to family members, are we to imply from that then that maybe this not being immune to the same challenges, that you would not be immune then to do anything humanly possible to try and make all of this go away? Like maybe hire your family members to work for you on the council. I mean, that would seem acceptable, maybe, right? I mean, I'm just trying to connect these dots up as to this line of reasoning as to why this ends up being a plus for the voting public. And I'm having a real difficult time wrangling through this, that your personal financial house is in complete disarray, disorder, and yet this is a plus as a candidate. This is what we should be looking for, are people whose personal lives are a mess, in other words. And maybe the messier your personal life is, and if that's the case, Ms. Boyd, you still have some days to even muck it up even worse, and you should be walking away with this election. I mean, by this line of thinking, right? Am I missing something? Am I being too hard here? I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, if this is how it works for candidates in the city of New Orleans, and maybe, just maybe, this is the culture. I don't know. I hear that word a lot. I can't wait to figure out, and I'm dying to ask some of these candidates about all this culture that we're talking about, it and how that relates to certain things in this campaign. Maybe this is the culture. And if that's the case, you ought to be walking away with this. I mean, this election should not even be close. So for all the candidates out there, you know, we have several days left, a couple of weeks before October the 11th. You still got time to muck up your personal life, to screw up as it relates to personal responsibility, to maybe hide from creditors, and you should be golden. Because you will have a sense of not being immune from the same challenges that everybody faces out there when they do that, and when you put yourself out for consideration to serve the public and fulfill a fiduciary obligation to the taxpayers of this city, the more screwed up your family life is, the more screwed up that you are personally, and the more screwed up that your finances are, you should be the front runner. You should be polling way ahead of everyone. And because of this incredible connection that you will have to the voters, because you have made a series of really bad decisions, these bad decisions, the voter will find comfort in knowing that you get a gold star for making very bad personal decisions. And for that reason, and that reason alone, congratulations, you should win running away. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Several days back, President Donald Trump made a surprising shift in his public stance on the Russia-Ukraine war, stating that Ukraine could possibly reclaim all of its territory lost to Russia, which was a marked departure from earlier overtures that he had made, and actually went a step further and called Russia a paper tiger. Here to talk to us about it is Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Newell, always a pleasure.
Colonel, it's a 180. Did you see that coming?
No, I have to say I didn't see that coming, Noel, but I would quickly add to that that the president said that. He said a couple of ifs. If the Europeans continue to provide support and if NATO continues to provide support, speaking of it as NATO is sort of some third party and kind of skipping over quickly the fact that the United States is part of NATO. So it has still, as the leader of NATO, enormous sway on what NATO does and what NATO doesn't do. So it was a little odd to me that he described it in those particular terms. We haven't seen that translate, oh, by the way, into any change in what is critical, and that is, of course, the providing of military aid and assistance to the Ukrainians to actually affect that. There's no doubt about it that the administration is not going to provide any military aid. There are no proposals for military aid. There's not even been the expenditure of some few billion dollars that are still left in congressional appropriations from the Biden administration. Now, the president has been out there saying, hey, we'll be happy to sell weapons to the Europeans for them to give it to Ukraine. And there's even talk in the last couple of days of perhaps providing Tomahawk cruise missiles, selling them to the Europeans for the Ukrainians, which would give the Ukrainians longer-range assets that could strike particularly Russian energy sources at some great distance because they've been very effective in disrupting energy. So on the one hand, you're right, a change in what he is saying about the war, but certainly no suggestion about any more United States direct involvement. And the way you describe it, I'm also wondering if this is just part and parcel of can I find a good way to find the exit in this all and turn it over to somebody else and tell them it's their problem.
Yeah, it's one of the other things that I find curious as well. The Ukrainians, as you just pointed out, are bombing oil reserves, oil production facilities inside the territorial boundaries of Russia. I know the U.S. had kind of put a thumbs down on that for a long time. Did they take that thumb off of that?
We haven't taken the thumb off it in terms of clearance to use American military systems. We provide them and things like ATACMs, F-16s and the like. But the Ukrainians have developed their own longer range systems and drones that can fly at a longer range and are employing those to the tune of the fact that now there is actually substantial gas rationing in Russia. And even the last couple of days, the Russian Federation announced that they would, which I found startling, that they would no longer export diesel fuel, all diesel fuel will be maintained in the Russian Federation to take up for this increasing domestic demand and bring up to take care of, you know, their problem there, which reduces the amount they can sell abroad, and therefore reduces the amount that they can earn to support the war. May also affect, by the way, oil prices more broadly on the whole globe, Russia being a very, very large exporter of those particular that particular commodity. And furthermore, of course, the Russian Federation is not doing all that well in some ways on the battlefield. As Mr. Trump said, perhaps a paper tiger as they have more economic challenges on the battlefield. I just returned from Great Britain, and while I was there, the British Chief of Defense Staff, British General, said in an interview, you know, he said if a snail had crossed from Russia into Ukraine in February of 2022 and it continued to move at the pace a snail moves, the snail would be in Poland right now. And, of course, the Russians are still a long way from Poland.
You got to love these analogies, right?
Yeah, I mean, just a math problem, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So what conclusions can we draw from this relative, you know, the moment that you step into the realm of gas rationing and the whole world knows about it, that's not a good position to be in. And then it's a pretty overt happenstance that your own citizens are now aware that things are not good.
Yeah, this is for sure. But before we get to the Russian position, what does this mean in terms of Mr. Trump's pronouncement? And again, I'm not sure a great deal because what Mr. Trump says today, we both know, could be changed when he says something tomorrow. So let's watch this particular space. As far as the Russians go, yeah, this is starting to have real severe economic consequences. The Russian Federation and the Kremlin has done a good job in protecting the populations from the dire effects of this war for the last 3 years. That is starting to break down, I think. We worry about inflation in the United States. Estimates I've been told, inflation 9 to 10% in Russia right now. We worry about interest rates in the United States. They're about 6% for a home loan interest rates in Russia right now are 20% or more. And don't forget, put on top of that, again, British intelligence suggests as many as 250,000 Russian soldiers may now have been killed in this particular war. Russians have lost more in this particular war than the United States lost in World War One. They're rapidly coming to the point where they may lose more soldiers in this war than we lost in World War II at the current rate. And again, the progress on the ground has not been that great. So what does that mean, though? I think it doesn't mean a whole lot as long as Vladimir Putin's in charge, because I fear that Mr. Putin has now made this an existential problem for him. There's no way he can really back off and look at the Russian people after what's happened and say, well, that went well. And as a consequence, I think he will continue to persist, believing his willpower is stronger than the West. Witness as well his recent intervention by aircraft in Estonia, Poland, Romania, cyber attacks in Great Britain. All these things seem to suggest to me not a lot of interest in negotiating and a belief that the Russians will eventually win, or if you're Mr. Putin, we have to win because this is existential for me.
Well, this doubling down that he's involved in at the present time, I mean, you as a military analyst, this is a risky venture, right? Because the moment in time NATO or others takes just one step in moving into reacting to something that they do, this whole paradigm shifts, does it not?
Very possible. And we've seen, again, this it's still intensifying in a number of ways. The Russians, on the evening of the 27th of September, a couple of days ago, did the third largest attack on Kyiv that they've done this entire war. Something like 640 weapons were launched against Kyiv, a 12-hour drone attack of up to 600 drones, 40 to 50 ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and glide bombs launched against the Ukrainians, 70 people injured, 4 at least killed in Kyiv alone. So an intensification there. And then, of course, this intensification on testing NATO airspace in the countries I mentioned. But in response, clearly NATO rose up and met that, I think, in terms of its showing its air defense. But now the question is, are you going to shoot down a Russian aircraft if it transgresses a NATO border? And Mr. Trump also said in that same commentary on his attitude towards Ukraine, when asked, should NATO protect its border? He said, absolutely. And then he was asked, well, does that mean that you would shoot down a Russian aircraft if, you know, American aircraft were involved in the defense of NATO? He said, well, that depends on circumstances. So, again, kind of sidestepped that one. But eventually, if this keeps up, you're going to have that type of a confrontation. And then the question is, where do we go there in terms of escalation? Is this sort of Sarajevo in 1914, where one guy getting shot in the back of a car, happened to be a crown prince, resulted in a massive conflict? Or will this be a moment where everybody kind of takes a moment and says, wait a minute, this is getting out of control, and we need to start moving very rapidly towards some kind of negotiation that brings this to a settlement?
There are those that was reading over the weekend, some folks believe that a negotiated settlement is kind of walking out of the back door fairly quick right now. Your thoughts?
Well, a negotiated settlement based on the Russian proposal. I mean, remember, once again, we had a summit between Mr. Trump and Putin about a month ago in Alaska. And going into that, Mr. Trump said, you know, we're going to come out of this with a ceasefire or there's going to be severe consequences, and raised the prospects and said, oh, yeah, Mr. Putin has agreed to bilateral negotiations with Zelensky, and then subsequently, if necessary, trilateral negotiations involving me as well as Putin and Zelensky. And Putin went back to Moscow and immediately repudiated all of that. And there were no severe consequences. And the war has intensified in terms of the attacks on Ukrainians and in terms now of testing NATO's resolve. So that's kind of where this has been moving ever since. And the Russians say, well, we'll negotiate, but we'll negotiate the phrase they use over and over, and they've consistently used this for 3 years, is the when the root causes of the war are addressed. Well, what are the root causes if you're a Russian? Well, the Zelensky government is illegitimate. They must be removed, number one. Number two, Ukraine must announce it'll never join NATO. Number three, the West must remove all sanctions. Number four, the Ukrainians must acknowledge Russian as the official language of Ukraine because they've been abusing people who are Russian citizens. When all those particular matters are met, then we can actually negotiate on how we end the actual fighting. In essence, what they've been saying for 3 years, and they continue to say even up until the last couple of days, is when Ukraine surrenders, we'll be happy to negotiate. And they've made no effort to move away from that particular stance.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let me just, because I am completely ignorant of the role that this country plays, whether I don't think it's a large role, small role, or otherwise, but they've recently had elections in the country of Moldova. And yeah, there are Russians that live there, right? And there is an organized Russian party there that seems to have been beaten back in a very big, big way as a result of what's being reported out as it relates to the results of the most recent election. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. 110% correct. I mean, it doesn't get the press it deserves, but the Russian Federation, the Kremlin, has suffered a major setback in Moldova in the last couple of days. And really, you know, good for the Moldovan people who were threatened by these parties, Russian interference in their particular election. But despite all that, voted to keep the government led by a female prime minister in office. I think even expanded her mandate, and her whole platform revolved about Moldova becoming a European country and Moldova moving closer and closer to the European Union. And again, people don't realize, but Moldova is already a divided country because at the end of the Cold War, the eastern portion of Moldova, an area called Transnistria, basically seceded, and there's been Russian troops in that particular area as so-called peacekeepers for like the last 35 years, and they're still there. And this is just east of Odessa, or just west of Odessa, I should say, in the Ukraine. And throughout this war, there have been constant suggestions that the Russians might use that particular area, which the Moldovan government does not control, as a place to bring in Russian troops and use that as a method to attack Ukraine from the west. So good for them that they have done that and defeated that effort on the part of the Russians to move Moldova to being more closely aligned with the Kremlin.
In the overall scheme of things, because like I said, I'm a little ignorant about the importance of saying, but how embarrassing is that to Putin?
It's desperately embarrassing. Now, they'll claim, the Russians, that the election was fixed, that in fact that the Russian parties won. In fact, there were celebrations outside the Kremlin even before all the votes were counted, claiming a massive victory for the Russian aligned parties to kind of set the stage for that particular effort. They will certainly claim all that, and I think we ought to watch that pretty closely to see if the Russians might use that as a predicate, frankly, for even acts of violence, if not acts of social unrest, that they might instigate in Moldova in the aftermath.
A lot of moving parts. The more I learn, I mean, it's the more complicated it gets, for
world.
Sure. Colonel Jeff McCausland, thank you so much for joining us today. We know you've been busy. We truly appreciate it, sir, and have a great week.
Take care, Neil.
Thank you, sir. That's Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, if you're walking around the city and you see a bunch of conventioneers in town, we have a really big convention in town, the Global Security Exchange, where the world's top security professionals converge and talk about the future, safety and resilience. It's the ASIS International and GSX, about 15,000 registrants from nearly 100 countries with over 500 exhibitors will be here from today through October the 1st. And if you are a active duty and or retired military and law enforcement officer, you can get a free one-day pass to visit the exhibits that are there. So great opportunity. But if you know, everybody's going to be wearing badges and stuff, thank them for what they do. The security apparatus in this country, whether it's on school campuses, corporate security, executive protection, cyber, and the like, all very, very important. Give them a shout out. Make them welcome here at the place that we call home. We've got a great show continuing through today. I wanted to remind folks of one thing. We're going to start interviewing mayoral candidates, and I think the first person to commit has been Oliver Thomas, and Dave Cohen and myself will conduct the interview, and I think Oliver is going to be up on Friday, and we look forward to visiting with Oliver to talk about his candidacy to the mayor's office. We're working on the other mayoral candidates and the sheriff's candidates as well. And the construct is just simply going to be, we're going to just have a conversation back and forth, questions, answers, wanting to get a better feel for what these folks are thinking about on some of the contemporary issues that obviously faces the city of New Orleans. So we continue to work on that. If we only get one, or if we get two, or we get them all, great. But we hopefully will be starting towards the end of this week and into next week to give those folks an opportunity to talk to our audience. Our audience is a very important audience in my mind. And so we look forward to that. In a 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about the government shutdown. There is a meeting that will be held late afternoon today between the leaders of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and President Donald Trump. And we'll talk more about what it is that these folks are looking for. There seems to be a high level of confidence on the part of Republicans that if they go into a government shutdown, that folks are going to blame it on the Democrats because of some of the things that they're asking in order to reach this compromise. You never know. We'll visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, about the game that was held yesterday. 31-19, the Saints go down to the Buffalo Bills. They are now 0-4, and they take on the Giants, who now have a backup quarterback we are familiar with, Jackson Dart. And he took them to their first victory yesterday. So another interesting matchup this Sunday as well. And then when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Stefan Padfield, executive director of the Free Enterprise Project. And we'll talk about this content moderation and elimination, quite frankly, that was embarked upon by the Biden administration. A lot of hypocrisy going on about First Amendment, free speech rights, and the like. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.